Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon
and good evening, right, to whoever might be listening.
The worldwide broadcast, yes.
The worldwide broadcast. You're, Sheldon, you are global.
We are universal. Here we go.
How are you doing, Scott? Great. Doing well.
Up there in Seattle land.
Seattle land, and how are you down in the Bay Area?
Awesomeness. Rocking and rolling with all the wackiness, crying, laughing. You know.
Yeah, it was nice connecting with you before the show just to kind of talk about stuff, what was going on.
Talk about me crying some more.
Crying some more, and just some of the wackiness going on, and sounds like even on the BBS end, just some crazy stuff going on. And so we just want to send some kind of peaceful, loving energy out there, and just hopefully we'll all chill and get through this crazy wackiness, which will probably be going on for a while longer, but hey.
Woo! Yes.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw, here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
What are we talking about this week?
Today's topic is Jesus and Ascended Masters, which it's...
Who the hell came up with that topic?
Who did?
Thanks, Scott.
It is kind of a departure from A Course in Miracles, but it's, to me, it sounded like it'd be a fun topic, but maybe not to Sheldon.
Absolutely.
This would be a good forgiveness exercise for you, maybe.
I just couldn't find my quote, and I was feeling like failure.
Oh, man.
Fear was coming up.
Wow.
There you go.
Well, the funny thing is with the course, it's all Jesus. So any quote you pick is going to fit.
Technically, anything is appropriate.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's why I think this week's topic, Jesus and Ascended Masters, there might be some interest out there from folks that may be listening right now live on July 11th. 11 a.m.
Wow.
Pacific. And so if you would interact, exactly, you'd like to interact and share some of your wisdom or maybe ask Sheldon some questions.
Or Scott. Yes.
You can call in at 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. All right. So... I think you want to, Sheldon, I know that you spent a lot of time in consternation looking for quotes, so do you want to share your quote for this week?
Okay. We're going to do this quote thing, huh?
Yeah, because I feel like if you get that out of the way now, you'll be able to laugh, cry, enjoy the show.
Okay. Mine is just a generic, it's called Chapter 13. This is the Foundation for Inner Peace version, page 253, chapter 13, The Guiltless World, section 6, Finding the Present, paragraph 12. Awakening unto Christ is following the laws of love, of your free will, and out of quiet recognition of the truth in them. The attraction of light must draw you willingly, and willingness is signified by giving. That's it. It's totally cool, but it has nothing to do with Ascended Masters necessarily.
And yet it does, because the course was channeled as given by an Ascended Master.
That's true. Absolutely.
So the whole book, you're reading what an Ascended Master would like you to read. Thank you, Sean. Now you can go cry.
Whew. How about yours?
Mine, for some reason, I just felt like one of those, kind of different perspective looks at the crucifixion, which is something that the Ascended Master Jesus Christ, Yeshua, went through in his final lifetime in the body. But this quote is in the text, chapter 4, the introduction, paragraph 3. And it says, the only message of the crucifixion is that you can overcome the cross. Until then, you are free to crucify yourself as often as you choose. This is not the gospel I intended to offer you. We have another journey to undertake, and if you will read these lessons carefully, they will help prepare you to undertake it. I like that one just because, and again, I think it kind of, yeah, it kind of leads into a topic, one of the topic points I wanted to talk about, which is, you know, I think there's a lot of channeled messages out there, or writings around ascended masters. And I think, you know, it's always up to discernment. And I know for me, I tend to listen to messages where it's sort of like, hey, you know, here's a path that you probably want to take, but, you know, if you want to stay on the one you're at, go ahead, you know, want to mm-hmm. keep beating yourself up or crucifying yourself or whatever, then go ahead. You know, it's always very open. It's not like you have to do this or you're a bad person or you're not going to be in my graces.
It's like that quote that I read about free will, you know, that free will mm-hmm. is absolutely a part of it.
Exactly.
You always have that power for choice.
So. Exactly.
Cool.
Very cool.
Super cool, Scott. Are we going to do meditation?
Yeah, why don't we do a meditation? And I got some choices for you. So, like, before the show, I was kind of connecting. I've been kind of doing this work or just connection with Mary Magdalene. And I know for me, I feel very strongly that, you know, she definitely was ascended. And I personally feel that she was ascended in the same lifetime with Jesus. Kind of prescribed that they were, I feel like for me, the truth is that they were, you know, a married
equal
couple.
Partners.
Equal partners, and that she got forgiveness and what the, you know, really what the Course's message was back then, and she was pretty much an equal, which is probably why she was vilified by later by the church, or maybe was
the patriarchy.
But the patriarchy, or even the apostles at that time seemed to be jealous. You can kind of mm-hmm. tell even in the Bible scriptures. I think it's because she was at that level.
Yep.
So I don't know, all that to say, you know, that we could try to connect with that energy, or we could connect with the Jesus energy in the meditation. Or actually, gosh, there it is. Both.
Awesome.
That'll give people an opportunity to feel for themselves what those energies might be like for them as they come in and filter through your personal energy field, if you want to call it that. Sound good?
I might end up crying.
That's the goal. Not peace or joy, but just to make you cry. No.
the Mary Magdalene thing, when JM has that one on Way of Mastery, which I think you've, you know.
Yeah, it's very beautiful.
It's beautiful, and when he kind of fully goes into this description of her and his relationship with her and all of like what we just described, she was fully his equal and fully, and then you start to think about how history has written her and all that stuff. It really, really got me. It's getting me right now. I can feel it. It's just like, wow. It's, I don't know. It's a judgment, I guess, but it's like this profound injustice almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, wow. And yet that was the role that she willingly stepped into, right?
Yep.
It's like beautiful. It's like, whew, you know, it's kind of cool.
It really is. And so let's go on a journey and see what people get from these connections.
Cool. Let's do it.
Okay. So for those that are in a place or a setting where you can close your eyes safely and be in a place where you can join us on this guided meditation, please go ahead and do that. Sit. Lay down, relax, close your eyes, and go ahead and take a nice deep breath in, and then just slowly let it out, and just concentrating on any potential tensions that may be held in the body or even in your mind. And just every time you draw air in, just draw in light, or the feeling of light, the feeling of joy, the feeling of peace. And every time that you exhale, you're just exhaling out anything that you do not need or want in the way of tensions or thoughts in the mind, just intending that as they release through your breath, that the Holy Spirit or Ascended Masters that are already gathering will just take those and transform those for you, healing your mind or healing your body. And just take one more deep breath in and slowly let it out. And now, before we begin, just allow yourself to call in just pure light, pure white light energy, and allow it to engulf around your energy field, around your body, around your emotional body, your spiritual body, astral body. Just allow it to just kind of wrap itself, almost like bandages kind of wrapping around, just all over. And even if it seems like maybe there's areas that are tougher to cover, just hand that over, hand that process over to those that are present for you now, the Holy Spirit or Ascended Masters that maybe you can't identify now, but that's okay. And also at the same time, put your attention to, you should be able to either feel, sense, or see or notice like a tube that runs up and down through your spine, out through your sacrum, and all the way up through your and out your crown. And just allow all of that to be filled with light. And allow this light to extend upward out through your crown and down through your sacrum all the way out. It'll be down through the earth and all the way out through the earth, connecting out through the universe. It'll be up out through your crown, connecting out through the universe as well. And just pure white light, and just watch and notice as it clears a pathway through this energy field. And know that you're grounded and held and kept safe in this field by those that are watching and helping. That in no way this should induce any fear or any discomfort. This is all a safe, enjoyable process. And now, in this state of being open and connected to pure white light energy, place your attention on your heart center. And from this place, I would like you now to call in the idea, the thought, the energies of Jesus, Yeshua, and Mary Magdalene. They were a couple in body form, a married entity, if you will, a joined energy system. Now they're coming in to spend time with you. Again, the way that they did a couple thousand years ago, but now in energy form and spiritual form and ascended form. And allow their energies to come into your energy field. And just take a moment to notice how that feels, where the sensations might be in your own body, your own energy field. And just allow that those two combined energies to come in more and more into your heart center, or the most appropriate place around you. And take a moment to just greet these energies, these ascended energies. And notice if there's any messages that they have for you immediately in this moment. Notice how that feels, what it might sound like, sensations that you might have in and around yourself. But allow their loving, peaceful energy to just radiate throughout you. Notice if you can tell the difference between the two, if there is any. For some, it might feel like one combined energy of just love and acceptance, gratitude, joy, healing. And just allow yourself to concentrate now and just focus on the energy that was and is Jesus. Just enough to understand the difference. See if there is some form of a communication, a symbol, or a message there for you. Good. Now focus your attention on the energy form that would have been known as Mary Magdalene. Notice what that energy feels like, where it may be present around and in you. And notice if that energy has any messages or symbols for you. Good. Now I'd like for you to focus your attention on these energies combining, the energies of Jesus and Mary Magdalene coming together once again, the way that they reside naturally now as ascended masters in spirit. Get a sense of how that feels in and around yourself. What messages or communication you might receive now in this form. Very good. And just know that this connection that you may have already created in the past before this, or now today, new for the first time, that this can always be here for you and is always available for you. And maybe you'll be encouraged to continue this connection if you found something here that's been deep within you, a feeling of gratitude or connection. Just encourage you to continue this connection today, tomorrow, as long as you'd like. And just know that they are reflecting the aspect of you that is exactly like this. And now with gratitude and love, allow yourself to now just bring your attention back to your own body. Just wiggle your feet or toes and fingers and just become more aware and present of the body, but still maintain that connection that you've created, knowing that that's your true home, being with those energies and spirit. And just come back to us here in this version of a reality, a dualistic reality, but keep your attention and focus also in the non-dualistic version in spirit. And when you're ready, just go ahead and open your eyes and join us here again. But yet, see if you can keep your attention with Spirit, with Jesus, with Mary Magdalene. That will be a good practice.
Yes, it will.
All right.
That was awesome.
Cool.
Cool, cool, cool.
Anything that you'd like to share, Sheldon, that came up for you?
It was an interesting way that the two energies interacted with my body. So it felt different for sure.
Where did you personally feel the interaction?
it felt like Mary Magdalene was in the lower three. And Jesus was in the upper. And then that it was about Mary, it was about about raising lower energies up and fully integrating all of that, right? That, and I don't know if it's just because, you know, my concept of her as a woman or whatever, but that's what was coming up.
Okay.
That it was about integration of the energies. And then he was like more like opening. His was like more opening the uppers, and hers was like integrating the lowers into the uppers.
Oh, interesting.
So it was kind of cool. That's what I was good.
That is neat. Yeah. Just curious if any, yeah, what other people have felt. It might be a nice meditation to put out there and just see what
for sure
people pick up from that. And of course, if you feel like sharing your experience or experiences in the past with any work with Jesus or Ascended Masters, you can call us at 888-627-6008.
Shock us.
Shock us. Shock the monkey.
That was cool. That was a cool meditation.
Yeah, I think it's always neat in the different ways that, you know, you might get messages or interact with them. In fact, it was interesting as I was doing the guided meditation. For some reason, I was reminded of how I was actually introduced to A Course in Miracles, which is related to an Ascended Master story. So it kind of fits together. It's kind of interesting. I totally forgot about it until just now.
What was it?
I was actually at the Center for New Age in Sedona, Arizona. And I think I might have had maybe one psychic reading before that. And I was out there. I happened to be out there for work. I was in Mesa, Arizona. And I just decided, I just got this itch. I wanted to go up to Sedona for the evening before I had to go back down and go to work the next day. And went up there and just happened to walk in and go, yeah, is there, you know, a psychic there that can do a reading for me? Because I need to just go back down later. And they introduced me to a gal. I think she's still there. Her name is Scotty Little Star. And anyway, I was, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. I think I had like one reading before that. It was really short. And she was like really very good. And she kept saying, you know, do you know the Kutumi? And I was like, at the time, I had no idea who that was. That was one of the Ascended Masters that I think was identified early on. And when this, I think in the late 1800s, when the Ascended Master idea came about. But anyway, supposedly this Ascended Master was kind of trying to communicate with me and be like, hey, dude, you need to step your game up. And by the end of the reading, it was basically like, hey, you need to go downstairs. And at the time, it was by A Course in Miracles and I think the Urantia book, which the Urantia book for me, just I still never really got. But I mean, that was the day I was introduced to A Course in Miracles. I'm really grateful for that. Yeah.
Wow.
So I literally went.
Fitting topic.
It is. Yeah. And I totally forgot about it until now. So it's pretty neat how, you know, through somebody else, you know, that was a message. And of course, you know, again, use discernment when all that stuff comes in and just feel for yourself if that feels right. But I have to say, there's something about that reading. And I definitely went, you know, I walked downstairs and I bought the book, bought A Course in Miracles. And of course, it sat for a while.
I was going to say, you throw it away for a while.
I didn't get it. I would open it and try to read it, or I'd try to do a lesson or two. And I was like, I just don't really get it until The Disappearance of the Universe by Gary Renard.
Cool, cool, cool. Did you ever do anything with Kutumi?
I remember I was doing a lot of research on Kutumi at the time, and I was really blown away by, if I'm sure a lot of people if that do listen to this probably know a lot about different Ascended Masters, I would imagine, but I was blown away by the pictures that people had. I mean, he looked to me like a twin of Jesus, you know? And I love the artists that have drawn sketches of Ascended Masters, especially when they focus on the eyes, like the brilliant eyes, because for me, that feels really true. Just sort of like there's this real light behind their eyes and love. And just some of the sketches that are out there, I think really captures that well.
I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah, so Kutumi would be the first, I guess, Ascended Master that I started to understand or investigate. And I know he was in the late 1800s, his last lifetime. And if you study, I think, some of the Ascended Master work, again, it started in the late 1800s with Helen Blavatsky.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of grew from there. And there's a whole world under Theosophy and some other branches of that where they've kind of separated the Ascended Masters out and put them on different levels. Do you know, have you read about that?
No, yeah. I didn't know that they had levels. Well, yeah, actually, I mean, yeah, it gets interesting, huh?
Yeah, and that, I'll be honest, like, that doesn't feel right to me. Like, if you're an Ascended Master, then you've returned to spirit, which is non-dualistic. And I personally don't prescribe to the idea that these Ascended Masters are on these, all these different levels of beams and chokrons and things like that. It just, to me, that kind of puts focus back on dualistic experience, which
I kind of look at it as like it's all levels of unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like you're just stripping away various levels of veils or whatever you want to call them, right? So you're just, your field is radiating and your connection is deepening, but that can always happen. And you know, Jeshu talks about in Way of Mastery and stuff that, you know, it never ends, that deepening doesn't end, that you can always expand.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Yeah,
so I kind of look at it like that. So some people are spirit, expanded, yep, or whatever, you know, like this is in process of expansion and deepening, and that it's just an unfolding that's continually happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like radiance of light that's always streaming different. So you know, like that's kind of how I look at it. Doesn't mean that it's not all one and connected. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that whole prism thing with light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, different spectrums of light on one side of the prism look like different colors, but on the other side, it's all white. So it's like,
right?
You know, it's all diffused. It's all there. It's all one.
But I think
uniqueness to it as well.
Exactly. Like, I think, in the construct of the universe, that yes, there would be levels.
Right.
But like you said, that's a great metaphor. The prism piece, they are the different prism colors of the light spectrum on this side, but their ultimate reality is they are pure light on the other side, on the other side of the veil, I guess you'd say.
I think, yeah. And it's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
However you want to look at it, I, and then... The process for me, you know, is about just healing and releasing and loving and being in this moment, right? So I don't know, because I think sometimes when people look into the Ascended Masters, when they talk about ascension, they talk about leaving, you know, that process of just no longer like, oh, this world sucks or it's an illusion. I want to just leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think that's something that probably should talk about a little bit.
I agree, because I think something that I realize, and I think this is something even in the JM work, the Way of Mastery work, but basically I think when, you know, a spirit ascends or a body ascends, they don't really leave. You know, I think that's why there is all these channelings and people interacting with these elements, because I think the realization is until all minds wake up, you know, none of us can really leave. It's like, it's all or none. And well,
it's always being, right? So it's always being. The presence is everywhere. So it's just an unfolding into that awareness. Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
So it doesn't shift anything physically in that sense. Like you can be here now. That's what Ron Bell said, right? You know, be here now.
Yeah, be here now. And at the same time, again, because all minds are connected and we are one, you know, you can't, there really, I think the metaphysics will say you can't really leave anything behind or anyone behind until everyone is awakened.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be behind doing service, which is why I think the concept of bodhisattva makes
exactly
a lot of sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's sort of like, yeah, you have a choice, but once you're, I think, awake, you realize, well, this is what I want to do. I want to be of service. I want to stay behind in some form and help those that are still stuck in the wheel of karma, the wheel of suffering, until those wheels are no more.
Mm-hmm. I had this thought the other day about only love is real. Right? Fundamental mm-hmm. kind of teaching that only love is real. And so when you're acting and expressing and extending that love, it has to be supported. It can't not be, because it's the extension of what is real. And so that feeling supported by the universe, right? Oh, I want to do something. And stepping into that role of embodiment of love, that it's impossible for it not to be supported, because it's what's real.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of just hit me on a deeper level. I was driving to work and I was like, wow, that was kind of cool. And it actually, it was like this image almost like of a plane hitting the sound barrier, you know? Or going mm-hmm. through, like you show things going through water where you can see the waves that, you know what I mean? The wave, and it's just like this wave of energy going, you know what I mean? And it's just moving, but it's creating ripples in this way, but it's a force. It's the force, the power of love.
Mm-hmm.
And that power is always, because it's what's real, it is the true power. It is the power of the universe. And when you're connecting into that and expressing that, it has to be supported. It can't not be.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just an interesting thought. I don't even know why I'm talking about that. It just came up the other day while I was driving to work. I was like, wow.
I think probably because, I mean, it really should be that simple. You know,
yeah.
in my mind, I think that's partly why I wanted to talk about the Ascended Master stuff, because I think there's a lot of stuff out there that complicates it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think ultimately it's pretty simple that these are other, you know, human beings that have realized, you know, ultimate love in their lifetime, and have no need for a body, mm-hmm. because they're kind of beyond the need to learn, but they are staying behind to help people.
Mm-hmm. And that one of the aspects of this dimension is paradox. And mm-hmm. I think that resolution of paradox and is part of awakening process. It's, you know, this idea of all this complexity, you know, even with ascended masters, oh, what are their dimensions? You know, there's complexity mm-hmm. and then there's utter simplicity that it all rests in love.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you can look at that and get stuck and, you know, or confused or whatever, but you can also mm-hmm. look at that and just, see that it all makes sense, and that there's a resolution of that paradox, and then that actually solidifies the beingness. It's kind of interesting.
Yes, definitely, and that's why I think, you know, I personally would highly recommend, you know, when you're connecting in with those energies, like I know, well, it look kind of like around where you live, Sheldon, so Northern California, like the Mount Shasta area, is known to be the center of like the Great White Brotherhood, or one of the locations for the great gathering of the Great White Brotherhood.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
There's definitely been books written about that. In fact, I think there is a book called The Great White Brotherhood. And, you know, I think a lot of people, one of the reasons why a lot of people like to go to Mount Shasta is, you know, the belief that there is a large gathering or concentration of ascended masters in that area. Cool, dude.
Cool.
That's probably one of the reasons why you're attracted to that area.
Yeah. I didn't know it was a Great White Brotherhood, honestly. I knew there was a lot of stuff going on there, and you know. but I didn't realize that it was considered Great White Brotherhood.
That's my understanding.
So my mom was having those dreams. She's still on this side of the veil in body form, but she was floating around on the other side a lot, and she has been as she's, you know, nearing her transition point. But this was a while ago, and she had this dream where she saw these guys in white robes and all this, and and they were following her around, and she was following them around, the story was she wanted to take notes of this great city that she was roaming through, and it was so exciting and beautiful, and she kept trying to grab a notepad to take notes, and they just sort of said, just, you know, be there and appreciate or whatever, and you don't need to take notes. And she kept trying to grab a notebook, and finally one of the dudes kicked her or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And then she woke up. And then I was like, well, Mom, there's these, you know, some people believe in this, you know, they call it the Great White Brotherhood, but it's not white because they're white. And she's like, it's because of their light. She's like, I know, it's because of their light. And that was kind of wild because she had no idea about any of that stuff.
Oh, wow.
So I was just like, whoa. That was kind of cool. So I think my mom might have got to meet him.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah, I know. It seems like, you know, I think in the New Age world, you kind of run into people that seem to have had a lot of interactions with different ascended masters. Like, I think one of the ones that I hear a lot of is Saint Germain, and especially the work around the violet flame. I know I've had a couple of people help me with that, and I've felt some really amazing experiences just working with that. You know, I would call it like an archetype or an experience, but also just utilizing some of the tools of these ascended masters, like the violet flame, can help you heal, you know, heal. And that's kind of what they're here to help you do. And I have I know one of our friends is calling in right now, Ellie, and it looks like she's on standby. So yeah, if we want to get Ellie on the line.
I think I'm on.
Hey,
there
she
is. On standby. Ooh. I'm live. Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, I wanted to
How's it going, Ellie?
Chester. Good. How are you guys doing?
You're freaking me out right now. No, we have a caller. Awesome.
Have you started
crying
yet? Our
first caller.
We should first.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Really? I'm on.
Yeah. Awesome.
I wanted to talk about the Mount Shasta connection. I was in southern India in last year in February. I went to a 3-week long retreat at Arunachala, which is the mountain where many sages and gurus have lived, most notably Ramana Maharshi, who reached enlightenment at the age of 16 and then moved to the mountain and lived there until he died. And the mountain is known as the incarnation of Shiva. So the story goes that, who were the big three? Shiva, Brahma, and
Vishnu.
Krishna? Where? Vishnu. Okay, right. They were all three. I don't know why they would be vying for attention, but were claiming to be the greatest. And anyway, so ended up that Shiva was the most brilliant. And the people said, we need a something physical to relate to. So Shiva became the mountain. And, you know, Shiva's all about fire, the element of fire. And anyway, so the mountain is known as the incarnation of Shiva, and people circumambulate around it, which is like 8 miles, because it is a temple. So when I went to this retreat, I found that, and there were 21 of us, 21 arrived, 20 left, let me put it that way. I found that a great majority of the people who were at the retreat had either just been to Mount Shasta or were about to go to Mount Shasta. Sure. And the facilitator of our group, also named Ramana, said that's because there are ley lines between Arunachala and Shasta, so that Shasta is the exact opposite of Arunachala through the earth. The ley lines connect.
That's cool.
So, so Shasta and Arunachala are connected.
Are they like polar opposite energies?
I wonder if they are. I was just thinking that. I wonder if Arunachala is Shiva and Mount Shasta is Shakti.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does it feel more feminine to you?
What was that?
Sheldon. Does it feel more feminine to you? Not Shasta.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, I would agree. Although, I think it feels very feminine in that mountain. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ellie, have you had any experiences when you've been visiting Mount Shasta with like any ascended masters or connections on that mountain?
I definitely feel, I had a lot of lucid dreaming that I was there last year. I don't remember anything specific right now. But recently I saw an owl just the other night, and I was speaking with Bishop Michael, our friend, about it, and he immediately was like, well, let's examine that. What does that owl remind you of? And suddenly I had a vision of myself walking on the mountain of Arunachala barefoot, only I was a man. With brown feet, very brown feet, walking barefoot up the mountain. And then,
thousands of people following you.
Vision that, not that I recall, but the energy was of, in the same town where Arunachala is, there's the largest Shiva temple in all of India. And it's humongous. And it's like right in the middle of this town. And there's one part of the temple that is the closest to the mountain. It's only separated by a busy city street. But in that part, I could just feel the rush of energy from the mountain to that part of the temple. Uh-huh. And it was just, it was really awesome in the true meaning of the word awe. And then I recalled, I saw an owl while I was there. Oh, that was the connecting force bringing me back to that energy of the mountain.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So do you feel connected to that always?
I am always connected to the mountain. And while I was there, I climbed partially up the mountain before dawn. And recorded a bunch of meditations. That's where I recorded the meditations from my app, Be Down Now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they're all based on the elements of the I Ching. Yeah. And interesting enough, so basically I went on the mountain and I kind of channeled. And I kept the scripts, but a lot of the... all of the recordings had all kinds of sounds in them. And some of them were great sounds of birds on the mountain. But then, I'd hear something like a plane overhead or cars honking even before dawn. So I came back to the U.S. and re-recorded all of them, except for one element, which is perfect just as it was. Can you guess which that was? Any idea which one that would be?
The mountain? Earth?
Mm-mm. Nope. What did I say Shiva represents?
Fire.
Yeah, that's it. That's funny. Fire.
So do you have any connection with Ascended Masters? Was any of that coming through in that form? While you were there or ever? Do they come through like that for you, or is this different?
I have had experiences with the Ascended Masters. I think at Arunachal it was Saint Germain, because I kept seeing fire, and you know the violet flame. But I have at other times like had a connection with all of them all at once. But my go-to Ascended Master, if you would call him that, is Babaji.
Oh, yeah.
I have a real connection to Babaji. Yeah. And for those who don't know who Babaji is, he's an avatar who can come in and out of form at will and has said to be around for thousands of years. In fact, some say that he was Jesus's teacher. Yeah, and I've seen him in meditation a few times, and once when somebody asked for my help, he kind of came through and told me exactly what to say. So, yeah, I have the most connection to him, but there was one time where I had connection to all of them all at once.
How was that?
Was in Europe a couple years ago. See, now this is making me want to travel again because all these experiences are all in all these places. But I was really called to go to Avalon, which is, what's the English name of Avalon? Glastonbury. And I get there, and the friend that I'm with zonks out for 14 hours straight. That's what the energy there does to her. And for me, I was like just wide awake, like, you know, there's no way I could sleep. And I immediately, my guidance told me to look in the newspaper. There'd be something to do. And like less than a quarter mile away, I'd go to this Archangel Michael temple. And there's a woman channeling the star people there and doing this awesome meditation and channeling. And turns out that there was some huge happening coming up in Avalon. I don't even remember what it was. But that woman that was doing the channeling came back to the bed and breakfast where I was staying. And she didn't know the owner, but they conversed for like a few minutes and found out they were both getting the same downloads and about what was coming up in the area, you know, about the energies that were shifting and things opening up. And I forget exactly the terminology they used. But anyway, she did a reading on me and I did a reading for her, and she's the one that Babaji came through for. And everything I said, she was like, totally, oh, yeah, that's right, that feels right. Okay, I'm going to do that. And then what she channeled for me was that I was called to Avalon to open up temples through my feet. So that's where that started, that I would be guided to go where I needed to go, and that this energy would come through me, and that I was called there to, because there were portals that needed to be opened for whatever was coming up, like the following weekend that they had been talking about. So that was my job to go do that. And I was like, okay. I'd never done anything like that before. And I'm like, all right, sure. And then I go to sleep that night. Well, actually, I couldn't sleep at all. And I tossed and turned in the Merlin room for 3.5 weeks, 3.5 hours, but it's been 3.5 weeks before that Merlin started coming to me. Anyway, so then I wake up, take a shower, get bundled up, because all of a sudden there's like the thickest fog I've ever seen, whereas we came on a day that was totally sunny. It was totally the mists of Avalon. I don't have, like, no cell phone coverage. I have no cell phone that works. I have a little map that's like hand-drawn that the people at the B&B give to their folks to say how to go up to the tour, the Glastonbury tour, which is the remains of like...
That's where the Way of the Heart Festival is for JM.
Yeah, Uh-huh. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. The Glastonbury Tor is at the top of this hill, which is like the oldest thing around, like the oldest. In Glastonbury is the oldest abbey around, the ruins of that. But at the Tor, it's something else. And that's all of Avalon. That's where Merlin, King Arthur, all of that stuff. So I'm walking at dawn in through the town of Glastonbury, up the hill. And every time I needed help, somebody would appear who could help me get up to the hill, you know, who could tell me what the next step was. And I get up there and, you know, I'm going through the town, and then you go through these gates where the hill begins, and it's all wilderness and forest. And I swear I could see Merlin darting through the trees on either side of me. It's like, he'd be on one side and then he'd be on the other side. You know, he was like this cloaked figure. Just saw his profile, never his face. Like, okay, there's Merlin. And then as soon as I hit the ground, after being in the town, my feet started to activate, and I could feel what this woman was talking about, all this energy. I was just a channel for all this energy to come through. And I guess open up the ley lines. And so I'm walking up the Tor, and then it gets to be a little bit like I'm not sure where to go. And this woman with a dog appears. And normally all animals absolutely love me, but this dog was like snarling and growling, and the woman couldn't see it. She said, "Oh, my dog loves you." And I said, "Oh, I don't think so." And she offered to take me all the way up to the top, because there was, you know, it was going to go across a road and it would be hard to find the next part of the trail. And I thanked her and I said, you know what, I'm really appreciative, but I think I need to do this alone. And she said, "Oh, no problem. It doesn't matter where we go. We'll go up ahead, and you can just follow us." It was just amazing. Uh-huh. And as I got closer and closer to the top, my feet were just burning up and activating more and more. And I could feel the Ascended Ones with me as I reached the top. And it was pretty amazing. And I was guided to do some ritual at the top, and I'm not sure what, like an unwinding kind of ritual, a release ritual, and then filling up. And I did some toning up there. And then I had to come back down quickly because I knew, like, the last breakfast at our bed and breakfast was at 10:30. Or no, 9:30. We had to be out by 10:30. And, you know, I had left at 6:45. So I go back, and at our bed and breakfast, I go get my friend, and she has been asleep the whole 14 hours, or 13 hours at that point. She gets up, we have breakfast, and these women that were at our table said, "Oh, we went to the Tor yesterday." And I said, "Oh, I just went." And they said, "No, that's impossible." I said, "Why? You couldn't have done that." "Why?" "Well, it took us 5 hours yesterday to get up there and come straight back." It's like, oh,
that's pretty funny. And thank you very much for sharing, Ellie. Unfortunately, we are running out of time. That illusory time thing is against us. But yeah, thank you very much for calling in. Yeah, we are.
Playing in time.
But thank you very much for calling in and being our very first caller and sharing with us.
Yay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yay.
And with, I think, the minute that we have left, I just wanted one to point out that if you go to our website, ofcourseradio.com, we do have some audio downloads, and one of them is entitled Your Ascended Self, or The Ascended Self. And it's basically a way to connect with the aspect of you that's already ascended, because there is that aspect of you that is an ascended master. And so that's one way to connect, and those proceeds will benefit Arts Unity Movement, which, Sheldon, we got very little time, but if you want to say something about AUM.
Arts Unity Movement, or you can go to artsunitymovement.com and check us out. We've got all kinds of events going on there. And then we're doing the Course in Miracles study group on Wednesdays from 7 to 9 p.m. If you're in San Mateo, it's at 149 South Boulevard in San Mateo. So 7 to 9 every Wednesday. You can check us out there. We're also on Facebook, right? We have Arts Unity Movement on Facebook, and we've got, of course, radio on Facebook, so you can like us and connect that way.
Excellent. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And thanks to those that joined us today, and hopefully just
thanks, Ellie. Up.
Thank you very much, Ellie, and for those listening as well. And tune in 2 weeks, and we will have another show, and I think we'll have to talk about what that topic is, but looking forward to connecting again with all of you.